one heartbeat away, your journey into eternity. Friends, right now, if you could just see me, I'm holding my chest. I'm just making sure it's beaten. It is. It's going to beat about 100,000 times today. How many times will your heart beat today? Someday, your heart will beat its last beat. Then what? Joining us answering that question, Mark Cahill, the author of One Heartbeat Away. His first bestseller now is about 160,000 copies in print. It's entitled One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Mark Cahill, welcome back to the What's Up program.
Terry, thanks for having me back. And to your audience out there, if you're listening, your heart's beating. And if your heart's beating and you're not born again and saved, today is a day of salvation. If your heart is beating and you are saved, today is a day to go share your faith with a lost person.
The easiest thing is just to say your testimony. You don't need a whole bunch of scriptures. Mark, I can just go up to somebody and I can smile and I can say, one day I was selling Bibles door to door. Yep. I wasn't really snookered into selling Bibles door to door, but I took a bet and I told a man that I'd do whatever that job that he was offering my roommate. I told him that I could do it better. I wanted that job and I would do it. And sight unseen, I had no idea what it was, Mark. But this man says, "Will you promise me whatever it is that you'll do it to the best of your ability for 10 weeks?" Will you work hard for 10 weeks? That's all I ask you. 10 weeks. And I said, I'll do it. And then he showed me what it was, selling Bibles door to door. I went out my first summer and I sold Bibles up and down Appalachia, Virginia, made a lot of money. Second summer, went to Richmond, Indiana, made a lot of money. Third summer, went up to north of Muskegon, to Whitehall, Michigan, knocked on a door and a preacher answered the door. We had a little debate at the door about what I was selling. And finally, I showed him a Bible. I sell Bibles. And he brought me into his study, and he sold me on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I've never been the same. And I can just share that simple testimony, and I've never been the same. And I could just look to whoever I'm talking to and say, are you saved? Have you ever met the Maker? Mark, that's not a bad testimony, is it?
Not at all. I mean, we should use Scripture as much as we possibly can. When you use the Ten Commandments with people, you're walking them right through Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. But if you look at Acts 17, Paul on Mars Hill, if I'm not mistaken, if you walk through his entire talk he gave to the heathens in Mars Hill over in Greece, he didn't use one Scripture verse at all. He was just preaching truth to them. Of course, it became Scripture one day, but he was just preaching truth to them, saying things that God's been thinking, gave them the truth. So when you share your own testimony, which is a great thing to do. You can interject Scripture through there. You can interject the Ten Commandments through there. What you're leading to, what I always tell people, is giving the testimony of God and Jesus Christ. My testimony can intrigue people, make them think, but what's going to change them is the testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ, what He died for, why He died, and that He rose from the dead, which Muhammad didn't do, Buddha didn't do, Confucius didn't do. So what I'll do is let your testimony just lead you right to sharing the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, in One Heartbeat Away, are you giving, really life nuggets to the Christian? Only 2% of us share our gospel, share our faith regularly. Are you trying to nudge us with little life nuggets? Not really tricks, but little secrets, little sayings that we can remember to ask that person we come into contact with?
No, I'm trying to kick him in the backside, Terry. I mean, we need to get out here. I mean, audience, think for just a second. Any of you out there that are listening, glad somebody chatted with you about Jesus Christ? I mean, just to hear your story, Terry, you were so thankful for that pastor that cared about your soul when you knocked on his door up in Michigan. I am so thankful for 4 guys back at Auburn, 2 football players, 1 guy from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and a goofy little manager on the basketball team. They cared about my soul. They talked with me. A guy gave me a Bible. You went selling them. I was a Catholic kid. I didn't own a Bible. They gave me a Bible. I started reading this thing. The Spirit of God started drawing. I'm so thankful for those people that walked into my life. Now take it one more step. Is anybody ever in the heavenlies going to be thankful that you walked into their life to give them the truth about Jesus Christ? And will anybody in hell be thankful that you at least tried to prevent them from going there by bringing them the truth of God's Word and what His Son Jesus Christ did for them on the cross? I want to make sure people are thankful because I walked into their life.
We don't need to be obnoxious. We don't need to take a big old 10-pound Bible and beat them up beside the head. We can just share the gospel through little sayings. You can find a lot of them in One Heartbeat Away. You can find food for thought and also ammunition. In One Heartbeat Away, Mark Cahill, when I talk about ammunition, in chapter one, you talk about, like Abraham Lincoln. You know, he says that I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist. But Abraham Lincoln said, but I cannot conceive how anyone can look up into the heavens and say there is no God. Are most of us looking down instead of up?
That's a good point. That's a great quote from Abraham Lincoln, because one thing that happened to me is when I started witnessing, is I started loving lost people more and more, and just to speak that truth in love is what you do when you go out there. I was actually on a plane flight, and there was a gentleman I was witnessing next to me, and he atheist, you know, not really into all this stuff. And as we're talking on the plane flight, he looked out the window, and there was this unbelievable sunset off into the distance, that orange sun going down, started painting on the clouds and stuff. And he looked at me and said, but that's what I'm struggling with. See, even he knew when he looked up and saw the sun and the sunrise and how those constellations, how do those constellations stay in the exact same spot every single day? How does that happen? Because somebody's holding those planets in the same place as they revolve and stuff like that. But how does that happen without a God? It can't. So who is that God? And that's why that's a great quote from Abraham Lincoln. We have a lot of quotes just all interspersed throughout this book that people just love these quotes from different people that really make you think.
One Heartbeat Away is the title. You can get it at Lifeway, probably get it at ChristianBooks.com. You can order it from the author himself, Mark Cahill. His website is Mark Cahill, and that's C-A-H-I-L-L, markcahill.org.com. Get you somebody in Germany who doesn't like the Christian Mark Cahill, so be sure to go to .org. Well, Mark, in chapter one, do you talk about how you can, you know, maybe not in the airplane, but here on earth, you can look to a non-believer or a stranger and say, who built that building? Can the building just get there by itself? Is that an example you can use?
Oh, definitely. I was talking with an atheist one time. We were downtown Atlanta with all these huge skyscrapers, and he didn't want much to do with me. I said, before you go, though, I said, just one question. He said, okay, and I pointed to that building, and I said, prove to me there's a builder to that building. He said, that's easy. And, of course, his answer was, the building is proof there's a builder. And, of course, it is, because you don't lay down brick and mortar and wires and glass and turn your back and there's a building. The building's proof there's a builder. I looked at this man, Terry, and I said, the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the sand. I said, every snowflake individually different. I said, sir, your DNA, 3 billion pieces different than my DNA. I said, sir, if there's a builder to that simple little building right there, there had to be a builder to this universe that you're standing in right now. And let me tell you something, Terry. If you've never seen, and I know you have, you ever seen the light bulb that goes off behind someone's eye when they finally get it? This atheist, the light bulb went off. He finally answered his own question, that he knew he was sitting in a universe that God had created.
Well, our kids are taught, and 90% of our Christian kids attend public schools, and the percentage is higher for non-believers. Can we teach our kids, like at science fair, can we go get an old cell phone? Now, friends, honk your horns, you know, flash your lights. If you're at home, say hallelujah for every old cell phone that you got in the drawer. Now, we've given some to the, you know, the women's clinic, you know, the abused women's center, because they're programmed to, you know, just to dial 911 if they need help, dial any other number. But we got old cell phones. What if we took our middle and high school age kids that have science fair this year, and we take that cell phone all apart, piece by piece, weld by weld, you know, solder by solder, take every little transistor, every little thing apart and put it in a box and wrap it with clear cellophane. And then the science project is to shake it until it forms a phone. And then under the caption put, and you're telling me that I crawled out of the miry pit? Now, I don't know if it would win the science fair, but would everybody remember that science fair project?
Oh, you better believe it. And that's one thing I always caution high school and especially college-age kids, is not to be more concerned about your GPA than you are about the souls in that classroom. And the thing is, teachers will, they might grade you down because you did something from a godly perspective in your science fair project, but God's going to grade you up on that on Judgment Day. And the thing we have to remember is God's not checking our GPA. I warn parents all the time not to push your kids harder for a great GPA, but not push them to be great soul winners at your school on things that will matter for eternity. Let me tell you something. Kids will remember that because that young lady or young man had enough guts to stand up for what they believe in. Because even lost people know, if you stand up for Jesus Christ, you're going to get persecuted. But they must believe it pretty strongly if they're willing to stand up for it and take that persecution.
Is it like that young man in your anthropology class who over by the wall argued with the teacher for about 10 minutes, couldn't defend his faith, but you admired his stand? Is that what you were saying?
That's exactly what happened. I mean, that kid believed in his God, his Bible, his Jesus strong enough. He was standing up to a professor. You know how we get sometimes, we get wimpy around anyone with a DR period in front of their name. This kid didn't care. He loved his God, and he didn't want that teacher lying to the students. I remember nothing that guy taught me. I do remember the young man that had enough guts to stand up for what he believed.
Don't remember what the professor taught, but you remember that young man had a heart-strong belief. Friends, in one heartbeat away, if you read it, you'll never, ever be the same. It is great food for thought. It is a great teaching tool. You can use this to help teach your children to stand for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Back to the cell phone. If we take a cell phone and take it all apart, how many years must we shake it for it to shake back together? Is that the example of how you can take, what'd you say, how many billion different DNA genes do we have?
We have 3 billion pieces to our DNA, each human being does.
3 billion beautiful pieces. Can this earth shake long enough, can enough lightning strike in one place long enough to zap a working eye? It can't, can it?
No, it's so illogical. I mean, I just saw something on the internet last week that they're now saying that they think life was created from the smoggy skies above us. Well, if that was true, Los Angeles would have some new species going on right now if that was a true statement. It is amazing to watch people who do not believe in God grasp at any straw they can. I had a college kid at the University of Florida tell me that the professor told them that they're now pretty sure what happened was is there was some explosion on Mars and there was a rock or something that came landing on Earth which had some water material on it, and that was the material that got the whole evolution process started here on planet Earth. So the kid told me, he looked at his buddy, in a, 300 or 400 people in a evolution class at University of Florida, and he tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, did our professor just tell us that we're Martians? Is that what he just said? You're like, come on, this is so illogical, it's not even funny, because we've passed the point of looking for evidence. We are talking blind faith now that people have an evolution.
Well, Mark, in a prior segment, you said you visited that museum in London. What, how many million pieces of fossils, but none showing the missing link?
Yeah, there were no transitional forms there. And even Darwin said in his book that that's how you can prove it true, is when you look at the fossil record, there will be millions upon millions upon millions of transitional forms. There's a great book out there called What Darwin Didn't Know. And what he talked about in the book was, well, we have the fossil record now. And the only thing you do not find in the fossil record is transitional forms. You find zero, let alone the millions that would have to be there from transitioning from one species to another.
What do you mean by a transitional form? Then I got one last question.
Yeah, what it is, it would be the intermediary form. So you would find a half cow, a half whale, a half man, a half ape. It would have to be the transition. But if you really think about it, you would actually have to spend more time in transition to get to completion. But once you hit completion, then we should be evolving into something else. And that's exactly what you don't find. In the fossil record, you find whole woolly mammoths, whole dinosaurs, whole coelacanthfish. What do you see walking on planet Earth today? Whole human beings, whole dogs, whole cats, whole tigers. Why aren't there haves and haves now? Because we still should be transitioning into the next form, but you don't even see the haves, the half of one and a half of another now, which even shows you there that this cannot be true.
We interrupt this program for a special announcement.
All segments today, yesterday, and for nearly 2 years can be found at terrylowry.com. Log on to www.terrylowry.com and search the archives by guest, organization, topic, and or date. Visit terrylowry.com today.
And now back to our regular program.
No, but because of global warming and George Bush, there's no more transition.
Well, the global warming is just going to be the red-hot anger of God who hates the sin that's being perpetrated down here. That's going to be the global warming.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about God's warming, because doesn't Revelation say that we're all going to burn up?
This place is going up by fire, 2 Peter 3, and there's going to be a very tough time down here on planet Earth. And Revelation's coming up. But I tell people all the time, I said, man, hey, you can't believe in the rapture, because if you really do, you would warn people about what's coming if you were taken out of here. See, the thing is, we can say we believe in things all the time, but really our actions show what we really do believe.
Well, Pastor Mark, Evangelist Mark, Christian friend, in your first book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, you discuss the importance of witnessing. Now, in your great, and I'm going to say bestseller, it's already had over 100,000 copies in print, One Heartbeat Away. Friends, you can get it at Lifeway, at Grapevine, at Christian Treasures, at ChristianBooks.com. Or friends, don't muzzle the ox as he's out there working. The author, go to his website, Mark. Cahill.org. Friends, you might have a youth group. You might have a meeting. You might need to bring Mark Cahill to your church sometime in the near future to share One Heartbeat Away. But in the last question here, Pastor Mark, Evangelist Mark, friend Mark, specifically in chapter 1, you share logic and reasoning, and you use that logic and reasoning to teach us how to open the discussion about heaven and hell. Is your book centered on just kicking us in the backside to get us mobilized and equipped to go out there in our everyday life at Walmart and at the restaurant, wherever we go, sitting and getting ready to watch the Little League game that our kids are playing in, or going to the football game this weekend and giving our tickets away and standing outside and witnessing this? Is that the purpose of One Heartbeat Away, to make sure that another soul is added to the kingdom?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it, Terry. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we forget the logic. Since this book is really geared for Christians to be equipped, but geared for lost people, that you can put it right into a lost person's hand, and we've seen the Lord take Muslims and lead them to Jesus out of this book. What lost people have told me, they love the logic in this book. They love the clear thinking in this book that made their wheels spin, because what we're going to do is we're going to start up in your mind to get those wheels spinning, but then we're going to take you to the heart just a little bit later when we go to the Ten Commandments later on in the book. So we start with the mind and work on our way to the heart.
Friends, if it's safe right now, if you can take one hand off that steering column if you're driving, if it's safe right now, take one hand and put it on your heart. You feel it beating? Your heart will beat about 100,000 times today. At some point, your heart will beat for its last time. Then what? Then what? Oh, friends, my prayer is that on the other side of glory, when we sit down for the marriage feast of the Lamb, I want to see you there. Will you join us? Mark, close us in prayer and pray for that lost soul right now that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Remember, folks, if you're going to heaven, go there, but don't go by yourself. Bring some people with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. The great, awesome God of this universe, this creation speaks of the Creator. The design of this universe speaks of the grand designer, and that's you, Father. But one thing we can know by looking at those Ten Commandments, one lie made me a liar. Stealing one thing made me a thief. Lusting one single time, Jesus said, the same as adultery. And Father, if I'm a liar and a thief and adulterer, I have offended a holy, righteous God with my sin. And as Psalm 51, David cries out, he knew he offended you, Father God. We need help, and that help was given to us on the cross 2,000 years ago. The only thing I found in the different religions I studied was the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash as pure and as white as snow. And then you rose from the dead to back up exactly who you are. If you have not made that commitment to be born again, you can do that right where you're at. Know your sin, repent of your sin, and surrender to Jesus Christ, and let him pick you up and mold you into that man or woman that's going to make a big difference in this world today. And Father, we thank you for that and ask it in the great, great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, go out and assault the gates of hell. Keep someone from falling in and fight whatever comes out. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the power given through the Holy Spirit. friends, until next time, may God bless your socks off. May you find somebody to witness to. And Mark, will you come back next week and talk about the red silver dollar and the flames, the flames?
I'll be more than happy to, Terry.
Go out, friends, and get a copy of One Heartbeat Away. We're going to give away some more copies right now.